That's all week, camp all week. Next Sunday is a wedding shower for Nicole Badanza and Matt South that is here at 2 o'clock next Sunday. June 9th, this Wednesday night, there is a consultation report, which is what we had conducted back
January.
Anything you need to say about that,
yeah.
Larry?
January, George Estes was here and talked to various people in the congregation at our invitation, and then he went home and wrote up a report. We have made copies of the report, or more copies, he sent a number. We've made more copies of the report and tried to distribute them. There's about five or six copies in the hallway across the breezeway. So laying on the little table right by the workroom, and you take that and read it. Wednesday night, we're going to go over it as a congregation. We hopefully, if the congregation shows up. What I have done is gone through it and picked out the suggestions that Reverend Estes made for the church to, I guess, consider adopting at least. And if you'll read that before Wednesday night, you'll kind of be ahead. And we encourage all of you to come. Wednesday night is not a big church night for this congregation. I'm aware of that. But we're going to try to use Wednesday night to talk about this report. And if you don't, you might wonder why we're doing things. But if we do some special things down the road, and if you're here, when we start doing them, you'll know why we're doing it. Or you might even X them out and say, no, we're going to do that.
Is the meeting in the sanctuary?
In the sanctuary.
Okay.
Come in the sanctuary.
All right. Don't forget, starting next Monday from 9 to noon is our Bible school. Please make plans. It's for kids through fifth grade. I think that's right.
Three years
through fifth grade, yes.
Yeah,
a week from tomorrow, next Monday. That's all the announcements. The rest of them are printed in your bulletin, if you will take a moment. Are there announcements that need to be made from the congregation?
Mr. After this bulletin was printed, it was printed on Wednesday since Joyce was going out of town. Sandy's father passed away, George Johnson or Bill Johnson, and was buried yesterday. So we offer our sympathies to her and to the rest of the family.
Okay. Wonderful. For how long? Well, that's best news you've heard all day, isn't it? Well, hallelujah. Are there other announcements? If not, please be sure and register your attendance in the pads that Jim has passed out. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests? Like Larry just mentioned, the Johnson family, want to keep them in our prayers.
And Thanksgiving for new good news.
Yes, definitely.
Campers, senior high campers, are camping this week and from our church in our area.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I know we have folks traveling on the list, and I'm taking Katie, my daughter's son-in-law, to the airport today. She's going to be traveling a month in Europe, backpacking. Under the umbrella of folks traveling.
Okay. Karen? Definitely remember those. It's tough when you lose one child. It's really tough when you lose two in the same accident. Are there others? If not, take a moment to remember those we have mentioned, those that are on our prayer list. Continue to remember our armed forces around the world, wherever they may be. And for those who don't know, yesterday, past President Ronald Reagan did pass away at the age of 93 from Alzheimer's. So keep that family in your prayers. So if you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is a responsive reading. Page 644 in your handle. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymnals to hymn 262, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Merciful and mighty God. Let's bow for prayer. Holy God, Heavenly Father, but also Christ, the Son, the Savior, and Holy Spirit, God in three persons. And we come this morning, O Lord, to worship You and to praise You, knowing that You are holy. Lord, we pray that You will help us to rise to holiness. We know, O Lord, that of our own strength we are so helpless. But with You, You touching us and blessing us and lifting us up, we certainly can be that which You call us to be holy, even as our Father in heaven is holy. Not of our merit, but of Your holiness and Your cleansing power upon our lives, for we put our faith in You. Thank You for this time to come apart and to think on Your holiness, to think on Your person, think on Your presence in the world today. And thank You, Father, for the elements of the Lord's Supper that we have before us, that we can experience again the sacrifice that has been made for our redemption, that we might bring honor and glory to You and to Your kingdom. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory forever."
Amen. You may be seated.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please. To hymn 529.
How I love Jesus, because He first
Express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Then technology is great. I've got to have every new gadget that comes out. I know there's a lot of you out there that do too. My wife is just the opposite. Years ago, how many of you know how long ago the microwave oven was invented? 1955. We didn't get one till about 1980. I kept telling my wife, fix me a plate lunch to go take to work. It takes 1 minute. I've got a hot meal. Oh, that can't do that. I like to never got her to get one. When I finally got one and it broke, you think I didn't have to beat it to the store to get another one? I'm telling you. Gary, thank you. I know that that's a great addition to the church. Let's sing hymn 172. I believe it's that number. Let's just sing the first verse of that. It tells it all. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Special music. I've had the privilege of flying into LAX. Some of you would not count that as a privilege. But there really are people out there at LAX handing out roses. I've seen that, if you've never had the opportunity to do that. So this little song I want to sing today is kind of about Buddha and Mohammed, Hare Krishna. Kind of makes a little fun there. It's kind of a funny little song, but There's a message there too. I think I've done it here before, but it's probably been a while.
Hear these words concerning the Lord's Supper It's a reminder of his sacrifice, his broken body, and his shed blood. I'm reading from the Living Bible this morning. It's only a paraphrase, but it tells the story just as well. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For this is what the Lord Himself has said about His table. And I have passed on to you before. This was Paul was saying that to the Corinthians, but you've heard the message before also. On the night when Judas betrayed Him, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks to God for it, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that He has died for you. Do this until He comes again." So if you are trusting in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, we invite you to eat and to drink from His table as a way of remembering the sacrifice that He went through to make it possible for you to be forgiven, redeemed, saved, welcome in heaven. Sam, David, you will finish. Let us pray. Righteous and holy God, we thank You for this meal, this remembrance. We thank You for Jesus that lived and that died for us, for our salvation. And we thank You that through Him, Father, we are forgiven, clean, welcome in Your holy presence. Lord, it's not of our merit, not of our effort, but what Jesus has done for us. And we thank You for sending Him. Now, Lord, we pray that You will bless this bread, bless this cup. Bless it, O Lord, that it might be for us the broken body, the shed blood of Jesus. Let it feed our spirits, nourish our souls. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for this table. We thank you for Jesus. Yes.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
God, we wait for that power again. Sometimes, Father, we shun it or turn our back on it, or sometimes we don't understand it. But we thank you that you keep coming and revealing yourself to us. Lord, we thank you today for the privilege of being a part of spreading the gospel. And we pray that you will bless the gifts they may be used to share your word, your truth, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture lesson this morning is from Acts 2, 1 through 21, John 14, 8 through 17, 25 through 27, and 16, 5 through 15. And it will be read this morning by Jeffrey Seaman.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even of my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Though the title in the bulletin says the Holy Spirit, it is today's sermon is concerning Pentecost. But today is not the day of Pentecost. That was last Sunday. The youth were in charge of the service, and so I wanted to preach on the Holy Spirit or the Pentecostal experience as recorded in the Bible, or a portion of it, this Pentecost season. Actually, we're in today is Trinity Sunday, and you may have noticed that our first song spoke of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy, 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 God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. So, knowing that it's not Pentecost Sunday, but we're preaching on it anyway, there's a problem of preaching on Pentecost or the Holy Spirit. And that problem being, what aspect are we to preach on? That's a long series of sermons, but I don't plan to get in that right now, though I may. There's so many areas that we could look at. It has been asked, one preacher asked, are the people not sure that they have the Spirit? That might be one way to go, to help them understand that. Maybe there's a wholesale lack of the Spirit, or lack of understanding of the Spirit. And that's the world I grew up in. We heard a lot about God. We heard a lot about Jesus. But I don't remember hearing much about the presence of the Holy Spirit or who the Holy Spirit was. It would be considered a wholesale lack of understanding. And then I don't hear so much about it now, but just a few years ago, so many congregations became divided over the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And that can be a frustrating experience for a church also. But I don't think that's the problem. So possibly what I have done today to kind of prepare you, let me tell you, I have, you may call it a collage. I'm not sure I know what that is and where that word came from, but it's what I understand it to be. This might not be a well outlined sermon, though I did make an outline and you saw it was rather long, and we hope to do justice to the subject. For a bit of background, on the day of Pentecost. Now, the day of Pentecost was a Jewish celebration. The Jewish community celebrated Pentecost 7 weeks after the Passover. And it was called the Feast of Weeks. They would celebrate Passover. That's our, we understand that to be Thursday night before Easter. And 7 weeks later, they would have the Pentecost feast or celebration. And one thing that it did, it was a spring harvest celebration of the spring harvest, maybe of the grains and other produce that became ripe or ready for harvest in the spring. And they would have a harvest, and it was the spring Thanksgiving, I guess you could say. But it was also Pentecost marked the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Every year they would gather in Jerusalem, or many of them would, many of the Jews would, and go to the temple and have a time of remembering of God coming down on Mount Sinai and giving the commandments to Moses. As I said, it was a feast of the first fruits, or a harvest festival in the springtime. And at Pentecost, many, many Jewish people made that journey to Jerusalem. They came from all parts of the world. And if you can pronounce all of those places, you don't even have to pronounce them, you can just read them. You can see that people were in Jerusalem from everywhere. So it was a worldwide, or at least an area-wide, celebration experience. All Jews were trying, at least once in their lifetime, to get back to Jerusalem. And at this gathering, or at this celebration of Pentecost, people were from so many places. And the list is there before you. That's taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. Now, on the first Pentecost after the crucifixion, or we could say death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. On the first Pentecost after the death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. So it's kind of like 10 days after His ascension, but 50 days or thereabout, 49 days after His death, burial, and resurrection, or maybe His resurrection. 7 weeks later, we find the experience that is described here in Acts chapter 2, or this, the event that is recorded in Acts chapter 2, 7 weeks after the death, burial, and resurrection, and then 10 days after the ascension of Jesus to the heavens. Now, previously, we said that, just to repeat something, before this time, before this Pentecost, other Pentecost, this was a referral, the word Pentecost was a referral to a Jewish feast, showing thanks for the spring harvest and commemorating the giving of the law. So they were gathered for the Jewish feast, and Jesus fulfilled His promise to His disciples on that day, taking advantage, so it seems, of this great gathering of people from all over gathered in Jerusalem. Since then, since that time, especially in the 20th and the 21st century, there is not much agreement on what the word means, or what we're talking about when we talk about the Pentecostal experience. But there is pretty much agreement in our time that it is the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, though it's the Spirit of God, I don't say it has caused much confusion in the church, but many people have misunderstood it. Some of them would have to have misunderstood the the word Pentecost and the meaning of the Pentecostal experience are the presence of the Holy Spirit, because there are so many divergent views of it. A well-known preacher in Arthur, a well-known professor among preachers at least, and his name is Fred Craddock, he shares a story about how much we are confused about the Holy Spirit. Says that a few years ago he was speaking at a seminary. It happened to be a West Coast seminary, but that doesn't matter. And he approached the podium to give his first lecture. It was a series of lectures. And one of the students, you always have these in seminary too, just like in college or even in high school, one student stood in the audience and basically challenged Dr. Craddock. And he said, "Before you speak," he was really saying, "before I spend my time listening to you," he said, "before you speak, I need to know if you are Pentecostal." And he said the room grew very quiet. They must have known that student well. Craddock said he looked around for the dean of the seminary, and the dean was nowhere to be found. He wasn't even going to stay for the lecture, it appears. See, the student continued with his quiz, and he was taken aback. It could be a frustrating experience if you're about to speak and somebody asks such a question. Any question, really. And so, but Craddock said, do I belong to the Pentecostal church? And the young man said, no, I mean, are you Pentecostal? And Craddock says, well, are you asking me if I am a charismatic? And the student said, I am asking you if you're Pentecostal. And Craddock said, do you want to know if I speak in tongues? And the student says, I want to know if you are Pentecostal. And Craddock finally said, I don't know what your question is. And the student said, well, obviously you're not Pentecostal. And he got up and left. He didn't have any time for a non-Pentecostal preacher. But there were, you can see from Craddock's questions, that there were so many possible answers. What does the word Pentecostal or Pentecost mean to you? And then what would a Pentecostal experience be? What would a Pentecostal experience be? Would it be a holy roller experience? And they got the name Holy Rollers because they were touched by the Holy Spirit, and some of them rolled on the floor or the ground if it be in an open area. And that was okay. It is okay. I'd like for us, for today at least, look at verse 4. Verse 4 of your printed lesson. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll stop right there. We won't get into the tongues movement this morning. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not all that happened. This is not everything that happened. But this is the central thought in this lesson. The Pentecostal experience is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or that's where I'm coming from this morning. Now, what was this Spirit? What was this Holy Spirit that filled these people? It was God's Spirit. It was Jesus' Spirit. God the Father, who came to earth in the person of Jesus. And Jesus had gone to heaven 10 days previous. And now he was coming to fulfill his promise. of sending a comforter, a helper, a teacher, coming in the Spirit, and it being God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You might look at John 14, and you have the references there in your little take-home sheet. John chapter 14, verse 8 through 17. Also John chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. Speaks of Jesus being in union with the Father, promises that the Father will send the Spirit. And just one thing that we will call to the attention that he says that the Spirit will do, his Spirit, it will teach us all things. And then another promise included here is that he will be with us always. He will not leave us helpless. He will not leave us to fend for ourselves. So he is the ever presence of God in our midst, in our lives, to be with us. And then John chapter 15 and 16, Jesus explains the Spirit. Jesus explains the Spirit, or explains what the Spirit, his Spirit, God's Spirit, will do to his followers, or with his followers, or for his followers. You could use a number of prepositions there. God with us. That's what the Pentecostal experience is. God with us. Jesus with us. God in us, but also God over us. Not just walking beside us, but also filling us. When the day of Pentecost came, I think one version says, had fully come, all of them gathered, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And following this, there were a number of experiences, but that was central. That was the beginning of it. That was the impetus of it. Following this, being filled with the Holy Spirit, there was speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or as the Spirit enabled them, or as the Spirit spoke to them, they would speak in other tongues. And then there was preaching. They quoted the Old Testament. That's what that prophet Joel was. Peter's preaching, New Testament preaching, was based on the Old Testament prophecies. And he was telling how this was a fulfillment of the prophecy that Joel had made. These Jewish people from all over gathered, they would understand that if they were faithful Jews. And then they expounded. There was expounding. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Explaining the Scriptures. Or explaining what was happening. What is taking place? They wondered. Oh, these people have gone out here and gotten drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They wouldn't be drunk yet. Though I know some who might be drunk at that early in the morning. You do too, you know. But it was not the case there. Peter said, they're not drunk. They're filled with the Spirit. This is fulfillment of prophecy. And they were preaching about Jesus. But to preach about Jesus, he went back and preached about Jesus' ancestor, David. So they could understand David, what he was saying about David. They wouldn't care much about what he said about Jesus. And then there was conviction. What shall we do, they said. And there was belief. And there were baptisms. And there was new kind of living. New kind of living. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for your Spirit. Your Spirit that comes and lives with us and abides with us. Your Spirit, O Lord, that comes to fill us. And Father, we thank you that you come to be with us. Just like it was said at your birth, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you. Thank you that you did not leave us comfortless when you went to heaven. Thank you that you're involved in the everyday acts of this world and of our lives.
thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The song is about being filled with the Spirit. Fill our cup, Lord. And what's the number, Sam?
398.
398. We stand together, if you will, and let's sing it, and let's let that be a way that we are opening our lives for a new filling or a refilling with the Spirit of God. One verse. Funeral. And so, would you hear the benediction? Now may the Lord bless you. Now may the Lord keep you. And now may He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace this day and every day of your life as you walk in His Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Lord, we're going to get a little work to work in that picture.